Well, Luke Peters is a man who, since birth, has been diagnosed as suffering from cystic fibrosis, and I think it's fair to say that was some while ago. We last spoke to him back in the summer during Cystic Fibrosis Awareness Week, and he revealed that he was writing a book about it. Has lockdown given him that time he needed to get the book written? He joins me on the line now. Luke, hi.
Hello, Neil. Thanks very much for having me back.
No, pleasure to see you again. So, where are we at? Have you got this book written at last, then?
Yes. Yeah, so, the last few months have obviously been challenging. We've had, you know, homeschooling to deal with. I've had regular hospital visits and stays going on. We as a family have been shielding pretty much since, you know, middle of March. So, there's been lots going on. We did manage to get the kids back to school eventually. And so that's allowed me to get the book finished, get the cover design finished. I'm going down the self-publishing route. So basically it's been, you know, there's nobody else to do all this stuff but me. So, you know, from designing the cover to writing the thing and uploading it to Amazon, it's all basically in my lap. But thankfully we're there now. Everything's all done, and it's now up live, available for sale on Amazon.
Excellent. All right, well, let's just wind the clock back to those who may have missed the interview back in June. Just tell us a little bit about your story. As I said, you were early diagnosed as a sufferer from cystic fibrosis. Tell us what that means and what that's meant for you, you know, throughout your life.
So cystic fibrosis is a chronic condition which largely affects the respiratory system, but also the other organs of the body. And while the life expectancy of somebody born with CF, as we call it today, is 47, back when I was born in 1972, it was much less than that. I was diagnosed at 13 months of age, and my parents were told that I'd probably spend most of my childhood in hospital and be lucky to reach double figures. So, you know, I'm 48 years old now. I had a career in commercial aviation, and then I decided somehow that wasn't enough, and I retrained to be a solicitor. So I qualified as a solicitor and worked for several years for a city law firm until such time as my health really dictated that that was no longer viable for me to do in order to maintain my health. So I took early retirement, became a father to a son, and then subsequently a daughter. They are 9 and 6 now, respectively.
Wow.
And then got to the end of 2016, where my health basically sort of fell off a cliff, and I was put on the lung transplant waiting list. Going on the lung transplant waiting list is a you know, horrific thing for anybody to go through, but it's particularly difficult because I've described it to people in the way that all other major events of your life, whether it's a wedding, a milestone birthday, the birth of your children, they all have a definitive waiting time and then an event at the end. So you know when that waiting time is going to finish. With the transplant list, it's virtually the opposite of that. So you don't know whether there will be an outcome, whether you'll ever get that call, and you've got no idea when that call may or may not come. So you spend every hour of every day at the back of your mind thinking, will the telephone ring in the next 5 minutes? Will it ring this afternoon? Will it ring tonight? And so I waited for 28 months for the call to come for my new lungs. And that's 28 months that were obviously hard for me, hard for my wife and children. But, you know, thankfully in May of last year, the call came after 2 false alarms previously. And I was lucky enough to get a new set of lungs and with it a whole new start in life.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And they're doing well, are they, these new lungs?
So far, so good. There's been 1 or 2 bumps along the road, but given the magnitude of the operation, and they always say the recovery period, you know, is at least 1 to 2 years. So I'm 18 months down the track now, and as I say, there's been a few niggles, but should we put it that way? But you know, I'm looking on the positive side that, you know, I've got the new lungs, I'm doing as best I can, and you know, I've got a whole new life sort of ahead of me. I've still got cystic fibrosis, obviously, but with that, I've got a whole huge opportunity to do so much more with my life and enjoy the time I have with my wife and kids.
Oh, so good to hear, especially with everything else that's going on at the moment, someone with a positive attitude. So tell us about the book then. You set about writing it. Did you have a plan in mind as to what exactly this book was going to contain, or did it kind of map out as you were writing it?
It was a bit of both, really. I mean, the reason for writing it was when I went on the list, I felt a bit sort of lost. And going back to what I was saying before about this indeterminate time of waiting. So I thought, you know, what can I do to use that time productively? And, you know, it struck me one day that if the call never came, or I passed away whilst, you know, waiting for the lungs, or, you know, passed away on the operating table, not to put it, you know, too mildly, that my kids, you know, when I went on the list, they were only 6 and 3. So I thought, they're going to know so little about me and my life and what I've been through and what's gone on. I thought, well, just write it down, you know. And so, the book has transformed while I've been writing it, but it was really set out to be just a very long letter to my children about, you know, me and my life. But as I say, it took on a life of its own, and very quickly it became clear to me that there is enough in there for this to be a book. I only got half of it written by the time the transplant call came, so the second half of it has been written subsequent to that. So in a way, the transplant came at just the right time.
I was going to say, yeah, before ending. You wouldn't have wanted it just to have been the last chapter, would you? That's actually quite
no, good. Exactly. So it's you know, it's all ended up really well, and the more I've got towards the end of writing it, and I was talking to people about it, everybody was saying sort of the same thing, that, you know, there's so much more in this that other people will benefit from, you know, not just people with CF, not just people who are awaiting transplants, but, you know, anybody with a chronic condition, or anybody who just, you know, likes to hear a story of hope, positivity, and, you know, looking forward and not dwelling too much on, you know, the difficulties in life, but trying to look on the bright side.
I mean, that's a very valid point. I mean, you were obviously very young when you were diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, but you get this thing, especially with cancer sufferers and people like that, don't you? Where you basically, it's just that coldness, that being on your own feeling. But there are so many other people who are going exactly down the same path, and someone like you who's ahead on that path, who can pass back some advice and some experience and just kind of walk with them. So it's a great little handbook for how to get through a situation this, isn't it?
Sure. I really hope it is. You know, as I say, it didn't set out to be that, but I think it's evolved into something that, you know, other people can read and hopefully take something from, and that, you know, that fills me with such pride, because you know, if it has that effect on people, then, you know, so much the better, and it's ticking more boxes than I ever could have hoped for.
Fantastic. Now, you're doing a profit share as well on this, aren't you? Some of the profits are going to cystic fibrosis charities. How explain that?
Okay, so yes, so a share of the profits of the book will be going to the CF Trust, the Cystic Fibrosis Trust. They're the largest UK-wide cystic fibrosis charity, supporting those with CF and their families. So they've been very kind, very supportive throughout the book writing process. They've supported me with bits of information to help me write the book. And also they've very kindly endorsed the book with a very kind review, which you can see on the Amazon site, along with a quote from their CEO, David Ramsden, which appears on the back cover of the book as well. So they've been wonderfully supportive, and as I say, I'm hopefully returning the favour by donating a share of the profits back to them.
Well, let's hope you sell lots of them. How can people get hold of a copy then? Just go to Amazon and find it?
Absolutely. So you go on to Amazon and type in Coughing It All Up into the search bar, and it should pop up as the first item. So there's a paperback option, and that's $12.99, or the ebook version if you want to download it on Kindle and read it on the go, and that's £6.99.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Well, it's lovely to catch up with you, Luke. Lovely to hear that the story continues, that you've got the book written. We wish you all the best with this, and let's hope it raises lots of money. And then good luck with your journey. Keep in touch.
I will do indeed, Neil. Thanks very much for having me on and giving me this opportunity to talk to you once again.